Well, hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everyone is having a terrific Tuesday all around the world. Lots of articles for you guys today, as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful, and I want to talk about the NFL very quickly for a few minutes because I've about had enough of this thing that's going on with these guys. And I think that Mr. Savage, on his talk show, this is Mike Savage, he said, as many of you know, he's just written a book on the Bible, and he says, today's oppressors are the bullies of the NFL, kneel or hide when the national anthem is played, forcing a captive audience to witness their vile, insulting and uninformed view of what America stands for. I tell you what America stands for. We are a nation in which no citizen is treated differently under the law, regardless of their color, race, financial status, creed, or nation or origin. Even these hysterical millionaires have rights. So I encourage all of you to do the same. Exercise your rights. Turn off your TVs. Do not choose the ways of the anarchists, the ignorant, whether they take the form of neo-Nazis, Antifa, or professional athletes. I don't think I could have said that any better. He's calling it the National Felons League as far as the United States. And what's sad about all of this, Austin, a lot of the players are tired of dealing with this also, but they don't know what to do. But I want to do a little bit of digression here. You have to think about the NFL and who owns the NFL and how these Sabbatean Cabalists and the Mafia pretty much run the NFL. Because think about the halftime at the Super Bowl for the last 10 years, how every single year has been another Illuminati spectacle, another spectacle of basically urinating on Christianity, another spectacle of elevating their satanic agenda. Every single year, it's another elevation of symbols and sorcery and witchcraft and hedonism and Satanism at the NFL, at the Super Bowl for halftime, on and on and on. So why would any of us be surprised if these owners and these players decide to go ahead and do what they want to do, regardless of how it affects the NFL or how it affects anybody else? Remember when Hank Williams got dumped for the Monday Night Voice of Monday Night Football after like 20 years? They got a huge blowback. These guys are not loyal to the United States as far as the owners or the people who control the NFL. Now here's another article. The NFL is born of the Mafia and is still the Mafia. Mafia is as Mafia does. Michael Savage acutely diagnosed the issue dividing the NFL and the in turn dividing the country. Savage's acronym, National Felons League, is fitting when considering the NFL's dirty little secrets, its mafia roots. The mainstream media news would have us to believe there was unity amongst the NFL teams protesting America's anthem, yet consider some were kneeling, some were standing, some were staying off the field during the anthem. Each of these acts of protest means something different and what you would expect from a group of entitled athletes. Colin Kaepernick did what kicked off the whole controversy with his racist kneeling protest, and all of this stuff is basically the Mafia running the NFL and showing now who these guys are. And remember, we went into detail yesterday on the Sabbatean Cabalists and the guys who run the planet, who are some of the primary owners of the NFL. And these guys do not care about Christians. They do not care about you. They do not care about anything but the fact that you watch their mind-numbing fake sports and buy from their sponsors and continue to support their NFL teams and pay their $4.50 for a glass of tap water at the stadiums. Absolutely ridiculous, Austin. As far as I'm concerned, I'm done with the NFL. I'm pretty much done with college football. I don't watch that much anymore. And I've had enough of all of this mind-boggling manipulation of our psyche. Because remember, they have to give us a team to root for because most men have been emasculated as far as being able to do anything in the culture that we currently live in. Most men have been emasculated or castrated, if you want to call it that way, metaphorically, by women who have dominated their jobs, their bosses, their teachers' unions. They've been castrated metaphorically in their corporate positions. They've been told what to do, what not to do. And so what we have been given in this place is the ability to go cheer for a team and live through that team vicariously to try to prove to everybody that we're a man and that we still have manhood and we root for our team. And what this does, that satisfies the basic need in a lot of men of being part of a group or being part of a project or being part of a team or being an alpha male, and they basically drop down and don't basically do anything else as far as being an alpha male. They get wrapped up in their sports. They can tell you who won the NFL's World Championship games for the last 45 years, but they can't tell you if there was a third building that fell down on 9/11. They can't tell you anything of any significance or importance in their truly sad life, except for statistics concerning football, the basketball, and baseball games that are around them. And this is what they've done to us. In fact, Alan Watt, the long-haired guy who was interviewed on the phone with Alex Jones a few years back, he actually did a whole video that you need to watch on this, in which he goes into detail discussing how they use sports to pretty much castrate the men in our country and in England to keep them sedated, so to speak, the same thing they did in the Roman Empire when the peasants started to become a little bit too rowdy. They would go sacrifice some more Christians or have some more spectacle sports in the arena in Rome. That's what the NFL is. It's the gladiatorial combat of the 21st century, in which it keeps the masses sedated in a trance-like state as they live their lives vicariously through the players on the field. And now these players on the field are breaking this paradigm, and the NFL and the owners don't know what to do about it, because suddenly people are getting to realize that this whole thing is a giant mafia-controlled lie. It's like watching professional wrestling, like you said the other day, Austin. So guys, I'm happy this is happening to the NFL, and I think they need to get their act together and quit acting like a bunch of idiots and stop putting a bunch of satanic halftime shows on for the Super Bowl. What do you think, Austin?
Incredibly well said. I mean, everybody has to realize the NFL is going to generate upwards of a little over $14 billion this year, $1 billion in revenue. It's a massive money-making machine, and that's just with the actual on-the-books revenue that the NFL's making. That doesn't even take into account all the on-books and off-books bets that a lot of the upper NFL guys make as far as the head commissioners and everything else. Also understand this, guys, and this has always been so funny to me. I've never been able to understand this, even when I was younger, because I saw in college a lot, and as I got older, I see grown adults having these NFL fantasy draft pick parties on a regular basis, and these NFL fantasy draft, you know, meetups on every weekend, and it always just it makes me chuckle, and I've never been able to understand it, because his dad just said, you'll talk to some of these guys, and they'll literally be able to tell you every single play, every single player, with every single stat, with their running ability, their catching ability, for the last 30 to 40 years, but they have no idea when the Federal Reserve was enacted in 1913, or they have no idea about the World Trade Centers and Building, you know, 7 that came down, or they have no idea about what's really going on in Afghanistan. All that stuff eludes them when you bring it up to them. They just go, oh, I don't have time to read all that. And I said, you don't have time to read all that. You don't have time to read all that, but you have time every single weekend to go to your fantasy draft picks so you can fantasize about who you're going to pick for your draft in the NFL and who you're basically going to bet on who's going to actually make the team and what they're going to catch and what the team's going to score and all types of just absolutely ridiculous things all weekend long. And I mean, people get into this to the point where, like, that's what they look forward to all week. That's like their highlight every week, is going to their fantasy draft and their NFL games and everything else. That's something you want to do. That's your choice. As Dad said at the beginning, everybody has a right to do what they want. If these guys want to kneel for the national anthem and they want to show that level of disrespect, they can do that. There's nothing I'm going to do to them about it. I'm not going to get in a fight with them. I'm not going to go bow up on them. I could care less. I'm not going to support it, never have supported the NFL, but that's what I've encouraged numerous people to do this week. If you don't like the tactics that the players are showing, if you don't support and you don't like what they're standing for, if you don't like the halftime shows, don't watch the shows. Don't buy the jerseys that are trademarked and licensed. Don't buy the tickets. Don't buy the apparel. Don't support it. If you start doing that, their $14 billion a year industry is going to start collapsing rapidly, because the only reason they generate that much money is because of the fans. That's what these guys don't seem to realize. So I could really care less about it. I think it's really almost humorous now that these guys are having such a divide in the NFL, because some of these guys that are kneeling are really, really opposed to all this stuff as far as what's going on. They hate Trump. They don't. So that's fine. That's the right. They want to do it. They want to make their $20 million a year. They can do that on the field. I really don't care. But everybody needs to realize, vote with your dollars. That's the easiest thing to do, and that'll tighten these guys up really quick. But in other news, I wanted to really touch base on this is – pretty serious of what's going on right now. And I talked about this a week and a half ago, and I've continued to talk about it, not out of a perception of fear, but because I want to keep everybody informed of what's going on. California and the San Andreas Fault and the earthquakes that have been moving northward on all this area, including all the way up to the Ring of Fire, there's some serious stuff that's been going on in this for the last couple of years, and it's getting progressively worse. As you guys already know, that 8.1 earthquake down in Mexico this month, then we had another one was a 7.1 magnitude on the 9th, then we had like two earthquakes up in North California last week. Now we're seeing that between 50 to 75,000 people are having to evacuate Bali because of the volcano that's essentially going to erupt at any time out there, which it's not technically right on the Ring of Fire, but it's if you're in California, it's about 11 o'clock directly west, and that's having a huge volcano, the massive amount of seismic activity. They said that another 6.2 magnitude earthquake was off the coast of Mexico, and 26 smaller earthquakes have rattled California in the last 48-hour period, and about 170 very, very small quakes in a seven-day period. This is very alarming to a lot of guys that are watching this stuff, guys and girls that are monitoring these earthquakes, because there's a lot of early shakes that are happening right now, and they're all pointing to the fact that there's more than likely going to be a much, much larger one. Dr. Lucy Jones, science advisor for risk reduction at the U.S. Geological Survey, just a couple years ago, said that Los Angeles is on a serious, serious track to having an issue with an earthquake in the next couple years. They said, according to the USGS study called the Shakeout Report, when a high-magnitude earthquake rocks the San Andreas fault line next, the damage will go far beyond the collapse of buildings and freeways seen in the 1994 Northridge earthquake. She said the L.A. area supermarkets now, they all depend on internet systems for warehousing and shipping food to stores, and the food now is stored on the other side of the San Andreas fault line in L.A. With the development of the internet and the just-in-time economy that we have now, none of the store foods on the Los Angeles side are store food on the side of San Andreas anymore. Also, two fiber optics, two-thirds of the connectivity from Los Angeles to the rest of the world go through fiber optic cables crossing the San Andreas fault line, natural gas pipelines all across the fault line for cooking and heating. And it's also noteworthy that late last year, November last year, about a year ago, a study done by the federal, state, and academic researchers found that contrary to prior findings, where most experts used to believe that the San Andreas could only rupture in an isolated section, they now have determined that the entire 800-mile fault line running the length of California where the Pacific and North American plates meet could actually all unzip at once, unleashing a rare singular catastrophe. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is not to invoke fear. I just want everybody to be aware of what's going on. And also, too, if you live in California, if you're around these areas, if you're in areas that are prone to this or even near this, you absolutely, it is imperative you guys have a preparation mindset with everything. I always have a grab-and-go bag in my truck. Every single time I go somewhere, if I take Lana's car, I throw mine in with hers in her truck, wherever I go. It's always in my truck, whether I go to work. I went out to Clearwater this weekend with her to get away on a little vacation. Had one in the truck, and I had one in the toolbox. I always have spare water filtration, full medic kit as far as tourniquets, I mean everything. Everything you absolutely need, including that I always have multiple handguns and backup ammunition with different calibers of ammunition in the event that I need to grab another firearm from my truck, another person's truck, another store. Basic calibers, 45, 9mm, 380, 5.56 as well with the AR in the toolbox. On top of that, I also have backup food bars, protein bars that I keep on there, and also two flashlights, multiple knives, any other backup things that I need, I always throw in there for whatever the situation may acquire. The reason why I say this, guys, if you're in a position and you're not at home, or you are out and about, or you are at home, you need to have the ability to get out of there if you can and be able to have adequate you know, medic kits, water, food, in the event that you have to go on foot or you have to bug out. This is a serious issue over in California. San Francisco had the massive earthquakes of 1904, and they were devastating. That was well before they ever had anywhere near the infrastructure that they have now out there. And not to mention, like I just said with the study, with all the food warehouses being stored on the right side of the San Andreas fault line, which to me is not a coincidence at all that they've done that, and the fiber optics and the gas pipelines, all this stuff now that's crossing over that, with the amount of massive earthquakes that we've seen starting from Ecuador into Mexico, now the small ones into California. Everybody needs to be well aware of what's going on out there and be prepared for anything at any time, because these aren't one of those things where you're just going to get a big, you know, chance. Like, we get hurricanes, we get blessed with these because most of the time we know when the hurricanes are coming at least a day or two in advance. These earthquakes, in my opinion right now, they're giving you adequate warning what's starting to happen, so you need to make sure you're prepped up for any of this stuff. And I just really wanted to talk about that today, open with that, because I've been thinking about it a lot lately, Deb.
Well, I don't think we're being blessed with hurricanes, but we do know that we have them coming towards us, and so we need to realize that. Plus, there's one other thing people don't understand: what's going on in California right now, and what they did many years ago. They built the Diablo Canyon nuclear power plant close to the San Andreas Fault. I mean, yeah. I don't know who the. This is as stupid as Florida State playing Alabama in the opening game of the college series here. I mean, of course, I would say that in a magnitude of 10 million, right? This is unbelievable that they put this thing close to the San Andreas Fault. I mean, why in the world would they build it there and not build it someplace that was more stable? And so we have that potential also in the event that this thing falls apart and we have a massive earthquake out there, that this thing ends up basically exploding or melting down, or doing what Chernobyl did, or doing what Fukushima has done. I mean, this is a major problem that we have, especially if we have another reactor leak like we've had at Fukushima that can't be stopped, and we ended up putting a huge plume of radioactive poison all over the entire United States. Because remember, the Earth turns that direction, so it'll come this way. So we need to be aware of all of this stuff. By the way, cash is in short supply in storm-ravaged Puerto Rico. No credit cards are being accepted anywhere on the island.
Yep,
the decimated power grid. I mean, this is exactly what we've talked about so many times. And now they're saying that you can get food in some places, but they're basically in a situation where you cannot use a credit card anywhere. If you don't have cash, you're done. In addition to that, there's thousands and thousands of people camped out at the airport that's been closed down, just trying to get out, trying to get on a plane, trying to leave Puerto Rico. There's going to be a massive exodus. Remember, they can come into the United States. Their Puerto Rican passports accepted as a U.S. passport. They can come into the United States and get out of that mess. Quite frankly, if you had a small jet right now that would hold 8, 10, 12, 14 people, you could probably make a fortune if you could find an airport that could take that jet, just getting people off that island, Austin, just to try to help them to get off of the mess that they're in and get out of that misery that they're in. And guys, it's a mess. We got to continue to pray for those guys in Puerto Rico, and we have to understand you need to have some cash. And I'm not just talking about gold and silver. You need to have some American currency, because remember, if the pea soup hits the fan, what's going to happen in this country is that the vast majority of the people in this country do not know that gold and silver is currency and can be used as a trading product. They don't understand that. They've been trained since 1930 not to allow that to happen. So if you try to give them gold or silver for gas or for oil or for food, they're going to think you're nuts. They're going to want dollar bills. That's what they're going to want. They're not going to want a credit card. They're going to want dollar bills. So I'm not saying that long term it's not better to put almost all of your money or a bunch of your money or at least 10% of your core assets into gold and silver. But the reality is you need to have some cash on hand just in case somebody doesn't want to take anything but cash, which they'll learn quickly won't be any good if we have a massive collapse. And remember, we did a show a few weeks ago talking about the earthquakes again in California. They can trigger earthquakes at a 10 kilometer depth very, very easy. I believe it was 11 kilohertz frequency put into the soil. And remember, guys, they're pumping all of these fault lines filled right now with barium and aluminum and strontium when they're doing that fracking with the oils. And what that allows them to do is have much more power when they put the energy fields into the planet and cause much more damage from an earthquake standpoint. That's why in the areas where they have these fault lines, there's always these mini quakes, invariably, and the ground shakes, invariably, in areas that have never had earthquakes, because they're putting all of this energy back into the soil, which they can then irradiate or energize with their space-based weapon systems. and cause it to crack very, very easily. So just stay frosted if you're in California listening, and make sure you have stuff stored up, Austin. What's your next story?
Yes, and that's why I talk so much, guys, about cash, because, I mean, even just a perfect basic example down here in Florida, a lot of Publixes and stores, grocery stores and stuff like that, were able to reopen fairly quick. Some of them had generators. Some of them got power up quickly because of where they were located. But almost all of them that I had talked to people around here, and when I went to places to grab some extra stuff or just to kind of get an idea of how barren the stores were, which I did, pretty much all the stores that I talked to, credit card systems were down. All of them were down because internet's the primary usage for the credit card systems. And if that stuff isn't fully functional, the merchant services won't work on it, especially if it's not encrypted and it's not safe. They won't reopen it. So almost all the places were cash only, cash only, cash only. I even had an email from a lady that even told me that in Florida. She goes, I'm really glad you told me that. I always try to keep extra cash. And I'm not talking about, you know, keeping tens of thousands of dollars under your mattress. I don't think that's safe, nor is that a wise decision with your investment. But always be sure to have at least a few hundred dollars in cash minimum just as a backup. I talk to so many people now. You go out with places, everybody has credit cards. Everybody uses debit cards. And there's nothing really wrong with that if you're trying to get points and earn miles. I got that. There's a lot of cool aspects to using that. But don't be in a position where every time you go out, I've been playing sport and nobody has a single dollar in their wallet. Nobody. Everybody's on plastic. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be in because, as Dad just said, the gold and silver is huge. I'm a huge advocate of silver. You guys already know that. But if something does happen catastrophic, at least for the time being, most people, gas stations, supermarkets, you know, stores, anything that's open for the time being, most of them aren't going to come in there and accept silver eagles when you come in there. If they do, they're not going to give you very good value for them. Most people are still going to accept cash for usually the first 2 to 4 weeks after a catastrophe. Then it starts going to bartering because then people realize the paper's worth nothing and chances are that help isn't coming very quickly and that they need to start bartering with ammunition, with food, with water, with that sort of thing. So that's absolutely right. Be very aware of that. Also, too, Equifax CEO now has suddenly retired following the Epic data breach. It's affected almost 150 million people. The sudden departure comes amid intensifying scrutiny of the breach. He was named chairman in 2005, CEO in 2005, and the regulatory findings on Tuesday, the company said Smith will not be getting a bonus for this year. Equifax shares have dropped almost 30% in September, and also, too, the breach has sparked multiple investigations at the state and federal levels, including the Department of Justice. Apparently, the company said the chief information officer and the chief security officer already retired early this month, along with that three other executives, including the chief financial officer, have drawn scrutiny for selling $1.8 billion of company stock just days after the breach happened, but nearly 6 weeks before it was announced to the public. Smith's salary, the CEO for 2016, was $1.5 million, and his bonus was a little over $3 million, but the regulatory filing on Tuesday said Smith will be not getting a bonus for this year, obviously. So I already told you guys the thing with Equifax before. Be very careful of your credit report. Be very careful of your credit cards. Always monitor that stuff if you use them. And in my opinion, this whole thing with Equifax, it screams inside job or somebody leaked something. The fact that this many names were compromised boggles my mind, that they didn't have this stuff on a privately secured, super secure server, and they didn't just have this on the database system right with their other servers, boggles my mind. I didn't know if you could legally do that when you're carrying this much information. And the fact that these guys dump that much stock, I don't really blame them for that. But on the other hand, too, it makes me wonder, $1.8 billion in shares is a lot of stock to drop, especially right after that happened. So they knew that the shares were going to drop, so I can't blame them on that. But again, a lot of weird, weird things are happening with that whole incident. So just be aware of what's going on with your credit and your credit cards. Make sure if you see anything shady or fraudulent, you report it immediately, because credit card fraud is a nightmare. Dad and I have both dealt with it numerous times. It's not fun at all to deal with, especially people that have issues with identity fraud and people actually try and buy like houses and cars out in their name. That's not cool either.
You know, I can't stand any of them. Equifax, TransUnion, or Experian. I don't like any of them. Here's why. These are credit miners, credit data miners. And what they do, they sell your information to the highest bidder, cheapest bidder, lowest bidder, anybody's bidder. You can buy information on anybody. So whenever you get like a survey, let's say you buy a new pickup truck, or you buy a new Volkswagen or a new Chevrolet or whatever you want to buy, and you get a little thing in the mail that wants to ask you all these questions about how you like your pickup truck. Guys, it has very little to do with your truck that you're buying or vehicle that you're buying, and everything for that last page they want you to fill out. They want to know how old you are, if you're a male and female, what, how much money you make, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. How you paid for the vehicle, did you finance the vehicle, do you lease the vehicle, do you pay cash for the vehicle? They want to know all of that information, because these are the same clowns that then take all that information and compile it and send it out to all these guys that want to try to sell you stuff and get you involved in their scams and schemes. I can't stand these credit companies, because here's the thing. Let's say, for instance, someone has a problem with a bankruptcy because they've ended up, you know, having a medical bill they couldn't pay, or somebody defaulted on them and they had to default on what they were doing, or they went through a divorce, or they lost their job, or they had some problem for some reason that wasn't their involvement or their fault, and their credit report goes to crap. Now they find out that when they try to apply for their health insurance, because of their credit report, their premiums go up. When they try to apply for car insurance, yes, I'm being honest with you, car insurance, they have to pay more because their premiums are going up because they've got a low Beacon score. And certainly when they try to buy another automobile and they walk into the dealership, they will tell them to go to one of the buy here, pay here places, and they can't get anything financed in their name anymore, regardless if they file bankruptcy, if they've gotten rid of all the debt that was basically owed by them. It doesn't make a difference. It takes years and years and years to reestablish your credit, primarily because of these three groups. Companies, Equifax, Iberian, and the other one that I mentioned a second.
TransUnion.
And so that's why I froze my credit many years ago. I told you guys that how I did it. You contact the phone number. You tell me you want to freeze your credit. They charge you like $15. You got to send them a utility bill. And they don't allow anybody to data mine you anymore. You can't have your information taken to anyone else. And no one can take out credit in your name, because when they try to apply for credit, even if they have your Social Security number, they can't take out data on you from these three groups, so they can't get a loan. They simply can't get a loan. They give you a PIN number that you have to use and call them, and they charge you like $10 to release your credit if you do want to finance a car or something. That's all you got to do. It's that simple. You don't have to be thinking about monitoring your credit every month or doing this every month. Now they have companies that you have to pay every month to make sure somebody hasn't stolen your identity. It's absolutely nuts what's happening for 150 million people. That's half the population of the United States. They've compromised and lost. I mean, they're talking Social Security, income, IRS tax returns, anything they had on file, they got. Anything. No matter what. You see, that's why they also do this now with a lot of these credit card companies. They want to have like your last 5 years' tax returns if you want to get a credit card with them, or if you want to increase your limit. Don't ever do that. Never send out your tax returns to a third party, because they publish that stuff. Look what happened to Trump. They were publishing his tax returns. Don't allow anybody to get that information on you. Just say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to give you my tax returns in case somebody hacks into your database and then they can pull up my tax returns to see what I paid in taxes. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous, Austin. What's your next story?
Oh, yeah. No, it is. And about 2 years ago now, I bought a side-by-side, you know, to play with, like a little four-wheeler, and I got a big old thing that his dad was just referring to, a big old survey in the mail about a couple weeks ago. I wish I would have saved it. I think it's at the house still. I should have brought it for the show. I've been meaning to. And it was like 6 pages of all these questions. I mean, from everything you can think of. I'm not even joking. Questions like, did you buy your four-wheeler to impress other people or for enjoyment? I mean, I'm talking weird questions, in-depth psychological study questions. Then, of course, his dad said, as soon as I was going through it, I was just going through it laughing. He goes, wait till the end. He goes, they're going to ask you everything. They're going to ask you your education background. They're going to ask you your work background. They're going to ask you your income. They're going to ask you your yearly income, your monthly income, how many kids you have, everything. Sure enough, you go through all these stupid questions about everything. How likely will I buy different wheels and tires in the future, in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months, all this stuff. Then at the very end, you're going to get to it. What is your education background? What high school? What college did you go to? How many kids do you have? Are you married? What, you know, male, female? How much do you make yearly? All this stuff. And Dad called it. It's exactly what it is. It's full-blown data mine. You give that to them. And then what they did was, it was funny, when they sent it to you, they put a dollar bill in the envelope. So when you open it up,
brand new dollar, a real dollar bill falls out. And they say in the thing, this is to, you know, encourage you to thank you in advance for filling out our survey. We want to thank you so much for doing this for us. This really helps us provide better service. So here's a dollar in advance. So from a psychological standpoint, they're giving you a dollar, so you feel obligated. You actually feel almost like you're stealing from them if you keep the dollar and you don't fill out the survey. Of course, I kept the dollar, and I didn't fill out the survey because I could care less. They sent me money in the mail for free. I'm not going to throw it away. I'm going to keep it, and I'm not going to fill out their stupid thing because they're going to take that survey, and they're literally going to sell it 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 times and make tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars off that information, especially because of who I am. They will sell it to every single miner, every single data company, every single credit company, and they will explode it like an atomic bomb on the credit reporting agencies, and they will sell it again out to more agencies, out to more credit cards, and it literally expounds on top of it till they, and we're not talking like, what's your name? What's your address? What's your social security? Basic stuff you have to fill out for a credit app. This stuff was detailed psychological profiling to figure out exactly who I was, how I thought. Remember, guys, I talked about this about 6 months ago. The way they're using these surveys, social media, all this stuff tying them together now with the AI analytics that they have now, they can actually predict what you're going to do more precisely than you know about how you're going to do it. Meaning once they get enough of this information, they will figure out enough psychological profiling on you to know exactly what you're going to buy, how you're going to buy it, with what you're going to buy it with, and what you're going to do with it after you're going to buy it before you even think about buying it. That's how exact they are now with the AI analytical programs they have. And when you fill out these stupid surveys that they send you because they want you to feel obligated by giving you a dollar, never, ever fill them out under any circumstances whatsoever. I don't ever fill out surveys unless it's something super basic like, how is the quality of our hotel? How is the quality of our dealership? It was good. It was bad. It was horrible. That's about it. And the only reason I do that is because if it's usually horrible and I will let them know their service sucks and I don't want to go back to them again, they need to get some stuff where...
Get going. Turn me on. We lost the doggone signal. The internet went out at Globalstar, so we basically were having internet problems out here in Florida today, too. So it's been an interesting day trying to put all of this together the best we can. Austin was also in the middle of talking, so I want to go ahead and cover what I just covered with you just a few moments ago. U.S. confidence has fallen to an 8-month low as far as new housing sales and starts. A lot of people are saying this because of what's happened with Irma and what happened with the hurricanes, but reality is they don't really know what's going to happen, but they do know that so many homes were destroyed in both Florida and in Texas, so there's probably going to be a massive increase in housing and building in the next few months. This is exactly what happened to us in 2004 here in Florida. We had already in the middle of, we were already in a massive building boom, and then what happened is we ended up having these hurricanes, and when the hurricanes hit, oh my gosh, then the building boom went through the roof. And then you couldn't even get a contractor, you couldn't get a roofer, you couldn't get a guy to lay block, you couldn't do anything because everybody was rebuilding everything after three storms hit us in 6 weeks. So be very wary on these types of statistics because we don't really know what's going to happen to the economy and what these globalists are doing. Again, the people that I talked about yesterday in depth, listen to the first 30 minutes of yesterday's show if you really want to get an eyeful. A whole bunch of you have sent me emails and said you loved the show yesterday. And I just sent back, simply told you this. This was hardcore information on yesterday's show. It wasn't for the weak of heart. That was some hardcore stuff that we covered on who was involved in 9/11 and what they were involved doing in 9/11. And by the way, sex diseases in the United States have now surged to a record high. Surprise, surprise. This is what the Sabbateans wanted. Sexually transmitted diseases have surged to a record high in the U.S. last year with more than 2 million cases of chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis nationwide. 2 million. That's insane. We have like 30% of the population right now infected with herpes. This was the highest number ever, said the annual Sexually Transmitted Disease Surveillance Report released today by the U.S. Centers for Disease Control. Most of the new cases, 1.6 million in 2016, involved chlamydia, a bacterial infection that affects both men and women. Gonorrhea also increased in both men and women. Nationwide gonorrhea cases reached 470,000. Guys, all of this unprotected sex, all of this homosexual sex, all of this garbage they've been telling us for all these years that's okay, it's not okay. and it's causing major, major problems in the health of the people in the United States. And quite frankly, I'm really, really happy. I've been married for 33 years, and I'm not on the dating scene at all because of these folks that are infected with all these weird diseases out there. Also, I feel bad for them, and they need to get medical treatment, buddy. What do you think?
Yeah, you're right. It is sad, and it is getting worse. And, I mean, a lot of it, like you said, they want this to happen because the more people have to go on antibiotics for some of this stuff, the more people have to go on different pharmaceutical drugs for the stuff that they come out with. All the time, this is almost, in my opinion, the overall goal. The more diseases, the more issues that they can inflict on as many people as possible essentially comes down to increasing more revenue for the pharmaceutical companies because the antibiotics and the pharmaceutical drugs that they peddle out for this stuff, you know, the good virus protocol we have is the black seed oil, the turmeric, the viral graphis, the D3, and the excellent C. Those are all very, very good ones together in combination to help out with viral infections. Also, too, with bacterial infections, the astragalus is good. The colloidal silver is good. Vitamin C, again, is very good. So there's a lot of good things you can take to help out with some of this stuff if that situation arises. But, again, seeking medical attention is the best bet as far as, and that's what I need to recommend. But this is the goal, Dad. This is why they have done this so much. Also, too, in other news as far as with diet and exercise, now they're actually showing that ketogenic diets or similar diets to that as far as low carbohydrate, higher fat diets actually massively lower inflammation in the brain, according to new research by UC San Francisco scientists. In the paper published in the Journal for Nature Communications, Dr. Swanson and his colleagues found that previously undiscovered mechanism by which a low carbohydrate diet reduces inflammation in the brain. And they said the regimen of keto diets changes the way the body uses energy. In response to the shortage of carb-derived sugars such as glucose, the body begins breaking down fat into ketones and ketanic acid, which is used in alternative fuel. Ketogenic diets are now shown to reduce inflammation, improve outcomes after brain injury, and even extend lifespans. I'm a big fan of this style diet. You need to be careful with it, though, as far as making sure your protein doesn't go too high, your blood viscosity doesn't become too thick, and you're taking care of yourself with it. And but going on low carbohydrate, higher fat diets is a very, very good thing. As far as I've done that for quite some time now, I definitely like it a lot better as far as being able to maintain lower body fat. Energy starts to stay pretty stable after about a month of doing this. I do have to admit, if you go from a normal diet to a low carb, high fat, high protein diet, the first couple weeks are horrible. You feel really bad because your body's not burning any carbohydrates because you're not taking in any, and it hasn't really gone ketogenic yet, so you have very, very low energy levels. But once your body kind of starts figuring out how to do this and function on low carbs, it does reduce inflammation, it does increase energy, and it can also, too, help out stabilize blood sugar much more effectively and burn body fat much more efficiently as well, especially if you're keeping the diet very clean. So I thought that was pretty interesting, Dad, but now they're showing, too, it helps with inflammation in the brain, especially after injuries. So that's a pretty cool aspect of it as well.
That's right. Now, I don't want you to start spilling ketones if you're on this diet, though. I don't want you to be on a total protein diet, not eat any carbohydrates. That's not healthy. What right. We're talking about is a low glycemic diet. It's called a ketogenic diet, but it's not really ketosis. You don't want to go into ketosis. That's not good. You'll start losing a lot of lean muscle mass if you do that. It's very important you maintain carbohydrates in your diet, but you need to be eating low glycemic carbohydrates. In other words, stay away from pasta and white rice and bread and things that turn to sugar, especially high fructose corn syrup. You avoid all of that junk. Just eat a real clean diet. We've got a brand new cookbook that's going to the press in just a few weeks. And we hopefully will have that available by the 1st of November, and it's going to be going into detail on what you can do as far as what kind of diet you can follow to really stay lean, keep super high energy, burn body fat, and really lower cholesterol, triglycerides, and blood sugar to the healthy levels and body fat levels. In addition to that, it'll show you how to really decrease inflammation in the body. So we've got a lot of things coming out in this new cookbook, and you guys are going to absolutely love it. And it'll be on our website probably in about 3 to 4 weeks once we get the final date from the publisher and the printer to know that we are going to be in a situation where we can get it out to you guys. And it's not going to be backordered, which I can't stand backordering books. Oh, by the way, Russia is very, very upset right now. They are blaming the U.S. for one of their top generals being killed in Syria shortly after Russia disclosed on Sunday that a top Russian military commander, Lieutenant General Valery Asipov, may he rest in peace, who was serving as one of Russia's military advisors in Syria, was fatally wounded by an exploding shell in a mortar attack by ISIS terrorists. Whatever. How do we know it wasn't CIA guys? We have no idea. On Monday, the Russian Deputy Foreign Minister Sergei Rakhmonov said that the two-faced policy of the United States was to blame for the death of the Russian general in Syria. And they say that Vladimir Putin, who was basically, well, who knew this guy very well, is extremely upset. And that's probably one of the reasons that the Russians released these satellite photos showing our guys camping out by ISIS and not fighting ISIS this week in Syria. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, no, there's definitely Russia's getting pretty irritated with a lot of that stuff. And also, too, other Russian news as well. So I just saw this earlier. Brent crude prices hit a 26-month high on the news that Turkey has threatened to cut oil supplies from Iraqi Kurdistan. This also gave a boost to the Russian ruble, which remains the world's strongest currency against the U.S. dollar in the last 12 months now. The ruble has surged over 10% against the dollar in the last 52 weeks, trading at 57.4 against the greenback and 67.8 against the euro. But the oil rising is on news that the Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan threatened to cut off the pipeline from northern Iraq's Kurdish autonomous regime over its independence referendum. The pipeline pumps about 600,000 barrels per day through Turkey, the Organization of the Petrol Exporting Countries, and non-OPEC producers previously agreed to cut output by 1.8 million barrels per day. So they're probably going to try and raise fuel prices again and blame it on this. As if you guys noticed, pretty much every single time around Christmas, they always raise gas prices almost every time. You can look at the spikes on the charts online. This is pretty common. They know people are traveling. They know people are coming down. Families going all over the place. People are trying to spend more money and buy stuff as far as for Christmas. So, of course, they want to try and extract their pound of flesh out of everybody and increase their profits on the oil and the gasoline sales. And it's pretty common that they do this every single Christmas fall time, so it doesn't surprise me at that. But it is interesting that the Russian ruble is staying so strong against the dollar, Dad. That's definitely interesting news as far as for the U.S. currency. As we've talked about in detail, the U.S. currency is in a serious issue. There's a lot of stuff going on with this right now underneath the surface. As Dad was just talking about a second ago when I came back on, you know, the housing market is, again, we're about to have another huge boom on paper because of what's happened with Texas and Florida. Everybody's rebuilding houses in both states again now, on top of a housing market that was already under a huge bubble again. And so now we're about to see all this stuff start picking up and trying to increase all this housing market again. The car market's about to go up as well with all the vehicles that have been salvaged over the next couple months. So it seems to me that they're trying to do everything they can to salvage the dollar as long as possible to continue to keep it going until they're ready to bring out their one world currency then.
Well, again, and I don't want to push yesterday's show on you guys who haven't heard it yet, but you need to listen to the first half of that show if you want to know how these international bankers, these Sabbatean Kabbalists, have been involved with the Mossad, the CIA, and the FBI, and how they've done all of this stuff, guys. This is a major, major problem that we have that nobody's really wanting to talk about and really wanting to address. In fact, the show that I did yesterday is the only show I've ever heard on alternative news which covered those topics, and I, quite frankly, was a little uncomfortable doing it, but I really realized that I had to do it. By the way, Roger Stone is now going to be interviewed before Congress to Capitol Hill, and I'd like to see this, but I don't think it's going to be televised, though the entire transcript will be released. Roger Stone finally came face-to-face Tuesday with the man he had been bad-mouthing for months, top House Democratic Russian investigator, Representative Adam Schiff. Stone calls him Shithead. When he left a swaggering tone, Stone said he was convinced as ever that the probe is little more than a political exercise. But after Schiff and his House Intelligence Committee colleagues grilled Stone for 3 hours in a closed-door interview at the Capitol, the lawmaker tersely accused Stone of refusing to answer at least one significant question and suggested the longtime Trump associate could be compelled to return under a threat of subpoena. Schiff declined to say what questions Stone wouldn't answer, but Stone himself told reporters he wouldn't divulge the person who acted as his go-between between WikiLeaks and founder Julian Assange last year. Stone has come under scrutiny for seeming to predict WikiLeaks' October dump of emails hacked from the account of Hillary Clinton's 2016 presidential chairman, John Podesta. That hack, which intelligence officials believe was orchestrated by Russia and funneled to WikiLeaks, is the center of the committee's probe into whether anyone from President Trump's campaign coordinated the interference effort with the Kremlin. Stone, though, insists he has no such knowledge of any such cooperation. He goes on to say, I express my view that I'm aware of no evidence whatsoever of a collusion of Trump or anyone else in his administration. Though this hearing was private, which I really wish it would have been aired on TV, Stone describes his interactions with the committee members as entirely professional, saying that he did not call Schiff any names this time, because he called him Schiff dead before. Rather, Stone said lawmakers were all courteous, and they treated him fairly, despite his dim view of the probe overall. Stone's comments to the reporters were bereft of any of the fury he packed into a 47-page opening statement distributed the day before, and he appeared upbeat and relaxed after the hearing, but he nonetheless brought some of his unusual drama to the appearance. I really wish that that had been aired on mainstream TV. I really would like to have seen that in mainstream news, but we're not going to be able to hear anything about this, I'm sure, except for alternative news, and quite frankly, I'm glad they brought Roger Stone in. And like I said, I agree with most of what Roger Stone says. The only thing I've never heard him talk about in any kind of depth is the drug involvement of the CIA and the Mossad and the Sabbateans and the International Banking Cartel in trafficking heroin out of Afghanistan, which I wish he would touch and breach that topic, though he's probably been told not to. What do you think, Austin?
Yeah, I would imagine, it's to me, from what it seems like, because, you know, we got some of the alternative news guys like ourselves that are talking about what's really going on in Afghanistan, but a lot of the guys at the upper levels in Congress and anybody that's involved in that level, if they know anybody in that level and they're with them on a regular basis, it almost seems to me like it's the unspoken rule. Like, they all know what's going on with that over there. It's not like it's hard to figure out, but it's almost like nobody's supposed to talk about it. It's just like that big, giant pink elephant in the room that everybody sees. Everybody knows it's ridiculous. Everybody knows it's something that needs to get kicked out and stopped from tearing up the house, but nobody wants to say anything about it for fear of basically getting in trouble themselves. That's what the thing in Afghanistan seems to be like now, because it's too blatant. It's too obvious. Now we've got another 15,000 troops stationed in Afghanistan again, 14,000, 15,000, whatever it is. Now, whatever the on-the-record number is, now we're spooling up more weapons, more toys, more armaments, more MRAPs, all that stuff that are going to Afghanistan again. And to me, it's just kind of like, really, guys? I mean, really? Come on now, like, are you really trying to act like that's not what's going on over there? The whole thing with ISIS, we already know, is a sham. Majority of any of that fighting anyways in Syria, but yet we're still sending a significant amount of troops to Afghanistan to pretty much just sit over there and hang out. No, we're keeping the poppy fields continually being cultivated, harvested, and growing on a regular basis. That's all we're doing over there, essentially. So, yeah, it seems to me like it's kind of the unspoken thing that nobody's really supposed to talk about that.
Oh, by the way, I want to say this. My YouTube account has been terminated by YouTube. Apparently, they didn't like the content of my shows. And so if you were listening to the show on YouTube, it has been terminated, and they've taken down almost all the shows. So I told our producer here at Global Star to go ahead and take the rest of the shows down, because of I'm not going to have them pick and choose what they're going to let me say and not say. I'd rather just stay on iTunes and do this. So, guys, just let you know, they're paying attention to what we're saying now. So YouTube has been taken down. So YouTube did it. I mean, I guess I had too many Christian comments about Jesus in there, and they're really funny about that. They don't like you talking about God or Christ, which I'm not going to back off on that. By the way, Antarctica sea ice levels have hit a record low, but experts are not sure why. Well, I'll tell you why. There's things that have been frozen in Antarctica for millennia they want to take a good look at, and they're doing everything they can to reduce the sea ice. Something's going on in Antarctica. Nobody wants to talk about it. You know, when we have John Kerry going down there to look at penguins the day of the election on November the 8th, and we have the Pope going down there, we have the head of the Orthodox Russian Church going down there, we have all these people going down to Antarctica to take a gander at what's happening down there, guys, there's something really big happening down there. And I defer to my friend Steve Quayle for that, because he'll know a lot more about it than I did, even though I did do a show with that with Dave Hodges, and we talked about it. We ended up with, oh gosh, I think it was over 100,000 views, because everybody wants to know what in the world these guys are up to down there in the bottom of the planet. What do you think, son?
No, it's pretty odd, man. there's definitely something very odd going down there. We've talked about it numerous times, and the whole aspect of it, me, is why you can't fly over Antarctica, and everybody wants to come up with these crazy notions and be like, oh, because it's further. Oh, because you just can't do it. Oh, because the range doesn't work. Oh, because it's not, you know, as far as the fastest route. There's a lot of reasons and a lot of excuses, including that. But the fact is, you can't do it. You can't do it because they won't let you do it, not because you can't physically do it. And that's what boggles me about it, because everybody wants to sit there and come up with another reason why we don't do it and what's going on down there, what's not going on down there. There's something going on down there, and people have gone down there and visited. I've talked to customers that have gone down there, and they've done exploration work in certain areas, because remember, Antarctica is a huge continent down there. It's a massive continent, and the fact that nobody's really allowed to go down there is pretty much shows me that there's something going on down there that they don't want us to know about, especially if you just start reading the stuff about the Nazi bases that they admit were down there, and they were doing all those types of weird experiments and everything else, including the UFO sightings that they had down there. There's just something going on down there. Also, too, other news. This is funny now. I hear about this all the time, multiple people. Harvard study now proves Apple slows down older iPhones in order to sell millions of new models. People complain all the time to me. I've heard about before, oh, Apple's getting slow, new models coming out. And it's something that's now, it's almost a joke with these newer models, but the older ones, people couldn't really figure it out. Well, a Harvard University study simply used Google Trends to point out Google searches for iPhone slow. So you go in and look up iPhone slow has spiked literally hundreds of thousands of hits a day every single time right before a new iPhone is about to come out. And it wasn't just once, not twice, but every single time a new iPhone is about to get released. The study was performed by student Laura Truco and looked at every single iPhone release and the trends as far as the terminology of my iPhone is slow, iPhone slow, any of those phrases literally spiked up through the roof 6, 8, 10 times higher than they are at any other normal time right before a new iPhone is about to be released. They also did the same study with the Samsung Galaxy, the Galaxy phones, and they found that spikes in searches did occur, but never before the release of new Samsung phones, and never to the extent of which the Apple phone spikes as far as on the Google Analytics searches. So that right there is enough to show you that Apple has their own software. They know what they're doing with it. They're intentionally slowing these phones down as soon as a new one's about to come out. That way they can force everybody essentially to buy a new phone and spend $600, $700, $800, $900, $1,000 now on the Generation X or whatever it is that's coming out now. So, yeah, I just thought that was humorous, Dad.
Well, no, I've been having all these problems with my iPhone and my iPad now with the show and everything we do as far as pulling up stories, and I'm sure that's what this is all about. Gotta upgrade, gotta go out there and get a new one so you won't be doing have all these glitches anymore. Guys, thank you for listening to the show today. Sorry about the audio quality and going off the air for a few minutes. I hope Todd can tighten that up and get the gap out of that for the recorded tape. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for supporting us. Thanks for praying for us. Thanks for being there for us, guys. I got some brand new information I want to cover with you guys in the next few days on prayer and what it does and how it works again. And so I've just pulled this stuff up and been doing research on it the last few days. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are going to enjoy this. So I appreciate you. I love you. Again, thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us and for supporting us. Go ahead and close the show off, and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you for all the support. We appreciate every aspect of it. The emails, the orders, the phone calls, we thank you for it all. It makes it very, very humbling for us to be able to help you guys on a regular basis and give us the privilege to be able to sit there and be your nutritional needs. And, you know, that's what we do all the time. On the phones, we help people out as far as what's going on. And, you know, we love helping people out the best we can. And sometimes people don't listen, but we always try to go out of our way. You know, I had the opportunity to talk to a customer yesterday. And she was trying to order some supplements for her ex-husband, and she was really trying to get him on the right protocol, but he still wasn't really getting the adequate results that he was expecting, but he basically refuses to exercise, refuses to get up off the couch, refuses to get off his medication, all the stuff, all the above, refuses to change his diet. And the problem is, you know, I told her, I said, the issue is, Some people don't want to listen, and they don't want to get better. Some people like the attention. Some people like the medical model. Some people like the ability to be able to complain on a regular basis. If that's the case, there's not a whole lot you can do about it. But for all the folks that want to call us up, they want to listen, they want to make changes to their diet, their health, their supplement intake, we're here for you guys. That's what we do. Check us out at healthmasters.com. Also, to be sure to check out the product of the week. It's the last day on sale. It's the Ultimate Multiple Fit Food Vegan. This is essentially our non-GMO rice and pea protein formula with our Ultimate Multiple added to it. It's an incredibly popular product that we've gotten now, as it's a really good protein source and it's a good multivitamin source. Great budget product, especially for people that are trying to use it as a breakfast for the family or for just, you know, married couples to have in the morning. And it's on sale right now for over 15% off per can. So really, really great value for what that is. So be sure to check that out at healthmasters.com. And also, too, check out the other products we have to vote for. So let us know what product you want. It looks like right now the GHI Cleanse is pulling pretty strong. So if you wanted to win, get on the website and vote for it and let us know you want that to go on sale tomorrow. If you guys need anything, as always, healthmasters.com or call us 1-800-726-1834. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.